Hello and welcome to the second edition of the By The Minute Motherwell podcast. Tonight I'm joined by the regulars, Jay and Buster, and also Joe McKelvey. How are you, Joe?
Good, thanks.
Well, this is going to be a regular thing. We'll have myself, Jay and Buster on every week, and we'll also have a special guest. If you fancy being that special guest, feel free to get in touch with us on Twitter, or even just give us a phone, because most of you know us anyway. So, the first time ever we're recording after a victory. Jay, a fantastic 1-0 win over Dundee United on Friday. I asked you last week if the feeling of kind of disappointment after McCall's departure had sunk in. In this case, has the surprise of a victory sunk in?
No, basically. It wasn't expected in the slightest. I think we'd all kind of accepted that the Dundee United game was pretty much a write-off. Don't think anybody expected us to get anything out of the game. So to come away with all 3 points was pretty good. I'll be honest, I find that a double-edged sword, the idea that, you know, it takes the manager leaving to get that kind of performance, the sort of the grit and determination that's been missing the whole season up until now. Why it kind of takes McCall stepping down to get that response of the lads, I think, is quite disappointing. I think if I was Stuart McCall watching that game on Friday night, I would have been a wee bit raging that they decided to wait until I'd handed in my resignation to turn in a performance like that. But as far as the team goes, it's a great 3 points, and hopefully we can build on that.
Buster, it really was massive, wasn't it? Given Ross County's win at Kilmarnock yesterday, we could have been recording this sitting bottom of the league. As it turns out, we've actually moved out the playoffs positions as well. So, all in all, a good weekend.
Not too bad, as you say. I think that the fact that we maybe played before them as well would have helped. If we'd went in after them, sort of bottom of the league, I don't know if that would have done the players any favours, to be honest with you. But, as you say, going in on Friday night, Dundee United, a record against them recently, pretty terrible, to be honest with you. So, anything other than a thrashing, really, was a bonus, so you can't complain when you win 1-0.
Joe, it seemed that we got a wee bit of the luck that's been escaping us over the course of the season. It's come at a nice time as well, going into the international break. Or has it? Is the break now going to be a wee bit of a hindrance?
It's always difficult with that coming up. I mean, I think it was good to get the 3 points on board going into the break. I mean, had we done an international break last week, for example, where you're then returning, having lost 5 in the bounce, I'd say that's more of a problem than the international break coming now. I would have liked to have built momentum, but other than Oyama, we don't have too many players going away in international duty, so hopefully the team will return fresh and ready to go for the Inverness game.
Who would you say were the standout performances from that game on Friday night? I know confidence has been pretty low throughout the team, but it seemed like a completely different attitude from even the St Johnstone game.
Definitely, yeah. I thought, for me, my main stand, I would have to say man of the match for me was Oyama. He was unlucky to score on a couple of occasions, and he was also looked like the player that left us 2 years ago rather than the one that's started his loan spell here. He was in top form. I thought Ian Vigor showed flashes, but again, it showed that ability. They can be brilliant, terrible, and non-existent all in the same game.
Jay, just on Oyama, I've been very, very disappointed with him since his return, but it looks like he's maybe turned the corner a wee bit.
Yeah, I would say so. I've got to be honest and say I've not been too disappointed in what he's done since he's came back. I think that most of the season so far, he's actually been our best player at times. He's never stopped working, he's always running. I think he's suffered a little bit. I think maybe he's came back expecting us to be far better than we actually are. I think he's missing Higdon. I think he's missed Higdon a lot. I don't think he realised just how integral Michael Higdon was to Henrik Oyama's game until he's came back and Higdon's not been there. I think it's taken a while for him to get used to the style of play we're playing this season and what it's like to play up top with John Sutton. I still think the effort and the endeavour's been there all season, and I think you know, I think he's the kind of player who needs good players around him. He needs the team to be playing well to allow him to go and express himself and to play well. And I think that he's actually suffered from the team as a whole being pretty poor this season. So I think the fact that we did have a better performance on Friday night, a better attitude, I think then allowed Ojama to show the flashes of the player that we had here first time around.
Buster, do you see him remaining at Firth Park beyond that January transfer deadline?
I think that's a frightening thing, to be honest with you. I don't think he will. I don't know if it's going to come down to the fact, maybe finances or whatever, but as you say, you know, it's one of those players that we desperately need to keep, but I don't know if we will be able to.
You've got to wonder, though, whether Warsaw are actually that keen to keep him either, though. I think that might actually work in our favour, that he seems to be so far down the pecking line, but, or the pecking order, I don't think pecking line is the expression, is it? But it's disappointing that he's just kind of seen to find his feet the second time round in November.
As you say, I don't actually know how he fits in at Warsaw. I don't watch any Polish football, so I was hoping to see him against Celtic earlier in the season, but obviously, we never seen him there. He seems to have sort of just disappeared. Looking at his, you know, how much he played the season before, he seemed to get a bit of a game in that. But I think Henningberg who's the manager there. I think he must have failed with him, but hopefully, as you say, that'll work out in our favour.
The victory on Friday night raised some questions over whether Kenny Black could have maybe worked his way into contention for the job as manager. For me, I certainly don't fancy it. I'm not sure what your thoughts are there, Joe.
It's a difficult one. Personally, I would rather we went for someone outside the club than Kenny Black or Scott Leach. But one thing you could say for Kenny Black coming in is he knows the club, he knows the players. The players seem to respect him. Whereas, as we're well aware, Motherwell's finances aren't in tip-top shape at the minute. So any manager that does come in is coming in well aware that he's won't have much money to spend in January and may even lose the likes of Oyama and O'Brien. Whereas Kenny Black's well aware of that fact already. He knows the players, he knows how to... You could say he's got a good idea of how to get the best out of them. And a manager that would be offered the job might be of a lower calibre than what we would want, down to finances, down to the fact that they won't have much scope to do what they want with the team this season at least.
Jay, do you think if Black was to get the job, it would likely to be a short-term thing to see whether he can galvanise the players maybe until January or the end of the season, I would expect. I wouldn't even think he would get as long as until the end of May. He's one for one so far, so it's a decent start.
Well, that's it. I think, firstly, you need to give him a lot of credit. I think you need to acknowledge the fact that he did have a lot to do with the win on Friday night. I raised the question last week on the podcast that whether he would make any changes or whether he would just set out a Stuart McCall side and just keep his ticking over. And, you know, you've got to say the sort of Kerr and Reid at fullback, putting Ramsdale in a holding midfield role. These were, you know, it was a gamble. It was decisions that he made. It could have completely backfired. And instead, you know, we've ground out a result. So he deserves a lot of credit for that. I thought he conducted himself really well in the interviews before and after the game as well. In terms of whether he's in contention for the job, either short-term or long-term, I think for a club like Motherwell, where finances are so poor, I think the assistant manager's always going to be in contention for the job when the manager resigns. Unless McCall was moving to another club and deciding to take Kenny Black with him, I think Kenny Black automatically is in contention if he wants the job, purely because we're not in a position to sort of go and handpick who we want. In terms of short-term, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the plan of action. You know, if the candidates that we've got, if the applications that have came in don't suit or we can't afford to, we want to go after, then I wouldn't be surprised to see some sort of setup where Kenny Black, you know, just keeps things ticking over for a set period of time. I think just for the long-term stability of the club, particularly, you know, going back to talking about Ojama, if you're wanting to keep him to the summer, then you're going to really have to get a long-term managerial appointment in that's going to want him in the plans. So I think just for the, you know, the stability of the club, I think it's better to get a long-term manager in. But I wouldn't be surprised if Kenny Black did end up doing so, to, you know, for a short period of time.
Yeah, but it must have been really tough for Black, given his close relationship with McCall. I saw McCall speak in Sky, saying that Kenny Black was the best signing he ever made. High praise, given all the excellent signings that Stuart McCall brought to Motherwell in his time there.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. I've seen McCall obviously get very friendly with him. To be honest with you, I don't know much about Black other than the fact, you know, he's been our assistant. And like Jay says, if he gets it on a short-term basis, he does really well. He's going to put himself, you know, high up there in contention. As Jay says as well, he's always going to be in contention. But I don't know, as you say as well, if he's, I don't feel he'd be the right person there. But, you know, if he gets three or four wins in his time, you know, that could change our minds, obviously.
That brings us on quite nicely to the race, so to speak, for being a new manager. It seems very much like the applications have been flooding into Fir Park. Some big names on there too. Guys like Winston Bogard, Billy Davis, Gary McAllister, Bertie Vokes, Billy McKinley, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. All be linked with the job this week, Joe. Realistically though, who would you expect to see, given finances is clearly going to be an issue in this appointment?
Well, I think, to begin with, I think you can discount Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank and Winston Bogard from that list. As we've seen with Patrick Cliver applying for the Ross County job, allegedly, there always seems to be one or two unbelievable names thrown in there, no matter what vacancy arises. Then moving on to guys like Gary McAllister, Billy Davis, and I heard Owen Coyle turn down the chance to speak to Motherwell regarding the vacancy. I think those guys, the only way you would get guys like them that have managed at the level they have taking the job at Motherwell would be if their reputation had taken such a nosedive, so to speak, that they needed somewhere to get back in track. So I wouldn't expect any of them. Billy McKinley might be an outside possibility. I think he may be a good option. Again, it would come down to finances, but he's not had a lot of managerial experience himself, and it might be good for him to put his foot in the door with the company Motherwell. I mean, you can't argue with his record as Watford manager, 100% unbeaten in his two games.
Aye, but that was pretty farcical, to be fair, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think with Billy McKinley, though, if he does get the job, I mean, I know it's still very much speculation and there's a number of names at this point in time, but having been involved down at Watford and at teams down south, he might be a guy that comes down with good contacts that can maybe get us loan players in the cheap. But the way finances are just now, who knows if that'll even be an option come January.
Yeah, Jay, after we recorded last week, Alan Burrow's getting contact with us to say that he won't be involved in the decision-making exercise to appoint a new manager. The board in the past have got the decisions right. Guys like Craig Brown coming in, Mark McGee, and then obviously Stuart McCall. Have you got confidence in the board that the right man for the job will be the man that's appointed?
I think based on the track record that we've got up until now, I think you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. In terms of trusting, I wouldn't trust any football club board anywhere, to be honest, to do anything. But in terms of like an actual bringing in a manager, I think you've got to look at it. You've got to say the last, 7 or 8 years when we've brought in managers, they've been fine, obviously, apart from Maurice Malpass. It's been successful. So if you're going to, judge a board on their ability to pick managers based on who they've brought in the past, and they've definitely done well. It remains to be seen. Again, the finances come into play. I think of the managers we've brought in the past, obviously we've never been a rich club over those years, but I think this might be the first time that the finances are really suspect. So I think that obviously makes it a harder job for the board, not just to identify a manager that they can afford, but to identify a manager who isn't going to come in, look at the finances, and you know, withdraw their application immediately. So I think that this will be a big test to see who we bring in, and in terms of who to expect that we'll bring in, it's so hard to say, because you know, in the past, a lot of the names that we've ended up with as manager weren't the names I don't think they really expected Stuart McCall to get the job. I think the same can be said for, you know, McGee, Craig Brown. These were names that, although mentioned, I don't think we really expected them to get the job. So I wouldn't be surprised if we bring in somebody that, you know, is perhaps just being talked about as an outside chance just now. But again, it's so hard to say, because you just don't know how the board are going to play it with regards to the finances of the club.
Buster, I think that Joe made a really good point in terms of it might be the case of taking on someone with a damaged reputation, someone that's perhaps went through a hard time in management. That brings me to one name more than others, to be honest, and that's Terry Butcher. He had a fantastic time at Inverness and then really, really struggled through his time at Hibs. Is that someone that you think will be high up in Motherwell's shortlist?
Possibly could be, depending obviously on his interest. I've not heard him say anything about it, to be fair, but again, I don't think that's somebody I would really fancy. Although he'd done pretty well, I think if you look at it, he probably didn't really do that well, whereas he got us to a League Cup final at one point. But I think other than that, you know, that was before we started to get any good, to be honest with you. So he'd done fairly average with us. But I don't think it's something I would be interested in, to be honest with you. But even as you look through sort of, you know, the list of who the bookies have got down as candidates, favourites, possibilities, some of them, as you say, they're just absolutely ridiculous. I seen that Neil Lennon was 200-1 with somebody the other day, so I noticed that on Twitter. I mean, there must be somebody putting bets on these somewhere. Some people just are crazy, I think, to be honest with you. But I don't know who's going to end up as your manager, to be fair. Even looking through the list, I don't even know who would interest me, to be honest with you.
I think there's every chance that it was me and GA on Friday night that was going for Neil Lennon, to be honest. I'm not sure.
That's for your £200, mate.
You just wonder in terms of where they pluck these odds from. Billy Stark was odds on at one point last week. He's still the 5-1 favourite. I don't really know much about Billy Stark's man management style, but looking at his record for the under-21s, it's not that impressive, is it, Jay?
Well, no, I think the problem for me with somebody like Billy Stark is I get the impression that he's one of the old guard. He's you know, when I hear the name Billy Stark, I think of the likes of, you know, Paul Hegarty, those kind of guys. And I think that to go from being the Scotland under-21 manager for so long to go back into club football, I think that, you know, I think it wouldn't be harsh to say that he might be a bit of a relic when it comes to, you know, training and that kind of thing. I think that if we're treating it as a realistic possibility, it's not a manager I would want to go for. I'd be looking for, I think Motherwell, we've proven over the years that we're suited to, you know, perhaps younger managers or coaches looking to sort of, or again, you know, managers looking to rebuild their reputations. But I think Billy Stark's just, you know, I think he's past it in terms of, you know, modern football. I might be completely wrong. I mean, it's hard to judge a manager of the Scotland under-21s because they have so little to do with the players apart from, you know, the few days before games. But my biggest fear would be that it would be maybe a throwback to the likes of, you know, Paul Hegarty, John Lambie, these kind of guys. And that's not really where I think we should be going. I think it should be, you know, I mean, my personal choice would be Billy McKinley. I think that you know, he's a young he's a young coach looking to get into management experience. They'll have contacts down south, so I think that would be my option, and I would be trying to steer far clear of Billy Stark.
Another name that interests me is Simo Vallecari. That again seemed to prop up out of left field during last week. It's always a dangerous one, isn't it? When you consider appointing a club legend, your reputation can go out the window really, really quick. What's Simo been doing, guys? Has anyone got any idea?
I seen that he was Well, again, this is me just looking up for the other day through Wikipedia. He was the manager of some team called something like Sienaho Pelakrist and Krenko or something in Finland. But I don't know how up to date that was, to be honest with you. But it does appear to be at least being some sort of football management role. But again, does anybody know anything about Finnish football?
Oh, you're really showing yourself up tonight. That's nothing about Polish football, nothing about Finnish football. I don't have any idea either, I must confess. But it's just another interesting name. We did a kind of straw poll on our Twitter page just to get an idea of what you guys are thinking in terms of our next manager. Some really interesting suggestions. Our good friend Desp, he's going with you, Jane, looking for Billy McKinley. He says he's a young, highly rated coach. He believes he'll have good contacts down south. And he'll be very hungry after being very poorly treated at Watford. And also that he's bet him at 25-1, so he's got financial interests. Eddie Munster is looking for a dream team of Malky Mackay and Ron Atkinson. What's your thoughts there, Joe?
I don't think we could be looking at to be too much in the PC side with that, Joe. I mean, we'd certainly be a hard to beat side. But I don't think the football would progress much from that. I think Ron Atkinson's maybe get as much chance of going back to being Harchester United manager as he does Motherwell.
Well, he did a good job there as well, to be fair. Chief McLeod is saying George Burley. He's not heard him mentioned very much, but argues that there isn't many more experienced managers available. Jay, what's your thoughts on that one?
I must admit, it's a name that I'd actually expected to kind of crop up. You know, you're talking about Simo Vallecari. There does seem to be that kind of idea that when a job comes up, the bookies or whoever's discussing it goes and gets a list of players that used to play for the club and then just throws them out there, which is why I'm surprised Luke Nyholt hasn't been mentioned like he normally is.
Yeah.
The George Burley one, I genuinely expected him to be mentioned. I don't know if I would take him, but I'm surprised he hasn't been mentioned more in terms of being linked with the job.
Dunks McGuire's went for Altti Edvaldsson or Simo Vallecari.
Edvaldsson one is kind of strange. I don't know where this guy's name really came from, because if you look at, he was Iceland manager at one point, but other than that, I don't really know where his name's come from. Did he throw his name in the hat, or did people just pick this out of nowhere?
I think he was actually mentioned round about the time McCall got the job as well. Maybe just, he's been linked with a Scottish job, I'm sure of that. His career goes back to 1995, where he managed IBV in Iceland. He's been Reykjavik manager, Valur. He's just finished, well, he's currently employed as well in Iceland.
You're looking at the same Wikipedia page as me, I think.
Scrambling through it, trying to sound knowledgeable, but
one name I did hear mentioned was Mitchell van der Gag. I think somebody threw that up on the Twitter at one point. And I think that would be kind of interesting. I know he managed a couple of teams in Portugal. I think it was Maritimo, I think he managed at one point. I don't know who the other one was, but I don't know what he's doing now either, to be fair. But, you know, it's just because he's, again, Luke Nyholt, Mitchell van der Gag, you know, just threw it with Chris McCart. You know, these old players' names getting thrown in. He was the one that sort of caught my eye.
Yeah. It's kind of struck me that people are using a bit more imagination. I think maybe it's because we've kind of thought outside the box a few times in terms of managerial appointments, and it's worked. Maybe this time, though, is going to be the one that's just actually a sensible name that everyone predicted. It's so hard to know, and it's without knowing the ins and outs of the finances as well. It makes it even harder, doesn't it, Jay?
Well, that's it. That's what I was saying earlier. The idea that you know, again, there's names that have been mentioned that, you know, in the past few years you would never have thought about, you would never have gave a look in. But you're right, over the last few appointments, you kind of do have to give more thought to the sort of the left field appointments now, because that's the route that we've continually went down. But as I said earlier, I think not knowing the state of the finances, I think we're all kind of agreed that the finances are probably the worst now than they have been over those last few appointments. So I think that will play a big part. As long as, if we do decide to go down a sensible option, then that's fine. As long as it's not, you know, the sensible options of, you know, the Scottish Football League merry-go-round. We don't need a Jim Duffy or an Ian McCall or a Jimmy Calderwood, one of those guys. If the sensible option is going to be someone like, you know, Billy McKinley, you know, a young Scottish manager, you know, been given the chance to carve out a career for themselves, then that's fine. I'm happy with that sensible option. As long as we stay clear of that, you know, those tried and tested names, you know, maybe bringing Bobby Williamson back for whatever Kenyan club he's at this week. And, you know, we need to stay clear for all that.
Guys, that's all we've got time for this week. I think if we appoint a new manager through the week, we will do a special podcast. If not, back again next Sunday.
Good show. Sounds good.
All right.
Don't all rush at once. Joe, thanks very much for your very impressive debut. We hope to have you back on soon as well.
Thanks very much. Enjoyed it.
You've been listening to the By the Minute Motherwell podcast. We'll be back next Sunday. Until then, thanks and goodbye.
Sutton wins the challenge. Lasley now. And on to Vigers. Might have the chance on the shot. And he finds the back of the net. Ian Vigers with what could be a massive goal for Motherwell. Can they break this long run of defeats? It's a rare sight. Just the club's third goal at Fir Park this season.